وطهركم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الباح وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأحرها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، I would like to extend my tabrik, congratulations to all of you and all the mu'mineen and mu'minat on the occasion of the birth anniversary of our 8th Imam, Imam Ali bin Musa al-Ridha alayhi salatu wassalam. Tonight is the night. Tomorrow morning is actually the time of his birth, and we will be celebrating with our guest speaker arriving and delivering his speech inshallah on this Saturday, day of tomorrow at 2. Program is going to start at 2 p.m. So Imam Ridha alayhi salatu wassalam has his famous alqab and titles as Sabir and Fadil and Qurratu Ayn al-Mu'mineen and Radhi and Wafi, and the most famous one is of course Ridha, and his kunyat. Open up the books of narrations and hadith, you frequently find the kunyat of the Imam mentioned in the beginning of the narration instead of his name in a lot of cases. So the kunyat, that's the way how we recognize, one of the ways how we recognize the Imam. The kunyat of our 8th Imam is Abu al-Hasan al-Thani. And Abu al-Hasan al-Thalis is of course Imam al-Nabi al-Hadi alayhi salatu wasalam. So he is the Abu al-Hasan II. And Sheikh Saduq has narrated that his mother was from these parts which are commonly known as Morocco today. From those parts of North Africa, the mother of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, Samana al-Maghribiyya or Najma, he has several names mentioned in the books of history. Sheikh Saduq narrates that her mother had mentioned that I did not feel any sign of pregnancy in myself. And when I slept, I heard the voice of Tasbih and Tahleel and Tamjeed, somebody saying Subhanallah, La ilaha illallah, you know, and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from my belly. And When the son was born, he put his hands over the ground and raised his head towards the sky and said something which I did not understand. And Imam Qadim alayhi salam entered and he addressed his wife about this karamat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has awarded her. And I wrapped him in a white cloth and gave it to Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. He said the adhan in the right ear and the iqama in the left. He was seeking the water of Furat. You know, it is mustahab in Islam. It's not part of the thesis, I'm explaining to you. It's mustahab in Islam that you make the newborn baby eat a little bit of the turbat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam dipped in the water of Furat. And Imam alayhi salam said that this is the Baqiyatullah, that's the remnant of Allah, and on earth, and the Hujjat after me. And likewise, the wordings written on the stones that Imam Ridha alayhi salam had been narrated as Masha Allah la quwwata illa billah and hasbi Allah, and there's no munafat and contradiction in those two different wordings, because he had two rings. Imam Ridha alayhi salam is also very much unique, not just in his some of his attributes, but also because the great services that he performed in his time, specifically throughout his life, but specifically in those last 3 years when he was forced by Mamun Rashid to travel from his hometown of Medina to the city of Marv, which was the capital of Mahmud's government, and that was very instrumental in the spread of Islam and removal of the confusions about Islam, and the way Imam Ridha alayhi salam guided the people throughout his travel from all those places where he was taken forcibly and during his stay there in Khorasan province. It is narrated also by Sheikh Saduq that one of the followers of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Ibn Salid, he came and he met with the Imam in Mecca, and he asked him that you are the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, would you please let me know something that I can teach to my generation, my children, my family? And Imam alayhi salam, of course, he had bunch of his sons with him in Mecca, and he said that these are my children, and then he indicated towards Imam Kadhim alayhi salam and said that in him is the knowledge and the hilm, the patience and the fahm and understanding, and the ma'rifat, that means the in-depth recognition of Allah about all what the people stand in need, regarding all what they dispute. So every matter that the humanity disputes about, the knowledge of that and the ma'rifat of that lies with Imam Kadhim alayhi salam, and he has the answer for everything that the people dispute about and they stand in need. And he is one of the bab, one of the doors, among the doors of paradise, and he has something which is better than all this. And I asked, what is that thing which is better? He said in his lineage is in him, in other words, which I'm paraphrasing the whole hadith in my own words, not the exact translation, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring the helper of this nation, helper of this nation from him, and through him the bloods, that means the bloods of the people will be protected and their disputes will be corrected, resolved, and Allah will combine the dispersed people through him, and the broken things will be repaired through him, and those who don't have the dress to wear will, and those who are hungry and those who are in fear and all those situations will be addressed through him, and the rain will shower down because of him, and the people will become his obedient, and he would be the best of all the people in all ages of his life, in his elderly age, in his young age, in his childhood. And Allah will provide dignity to his people, his tribe, through him. Of course, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is prophesizing about the arrival of Imam Ridha alayhi salam in the lineage of Imam Kadhim alayhi salam. And also Imam Kadhim alayhi salam says that, I heard my father saying that the Alim of Ali Muhammad is in your lineage. And I wish I would have found him, and he is the one who has basically the similar in the name with Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. So because Imam Ridha alayhi salam's name is similar to Imam Ali's name, so Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was wishing that maybe I could find him. He was available, he was alive in the life of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. He is in this 20-year span of the imamat of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, like I indicated earlier, the 3 years of his life, last 3 years was spent in Khorasan, almost last 3 years, but beginning 17 years of his imamat were spent in Medina, and where he was forced to travel from his hometown. Unfortunately, you still find some of the Muslims misinterpreting the position of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, spinning and twisting the policy of Imam to fit their lifestyle and their take on Islam. And that's why it becomes compulsory for us every time we talk about the incident, that we do not leave it incompletely mentioned for anybody to end up in any confusion, that Imam alayhi salam was forcibly taken, and he actually himself had mentioned several times in his own hadith that this Walayatul Ahad, he becoming the basically second in throne and heir to the throne of Mamun, forcibly by Mamun, was basically forced upon him, and he never agreed. That's what we understand in the light of his hadith. And he installed the Majlis al-Aza, a gathering of mourning at the time of leaving his hometown. And even when he left his hometown of Medina and traveled towards Makkah, he was even crying. It's narrated in the history that Imam was crying in Makkah, and he did his wida', farewell. He bid his farewell to the Holy Kaaba, he never accepted this Walayatul Ahad, being Waliul Ahad and heir to the throne, unless he was forced. He was threatened to death by Mamun, who was one of the most crooked, one of the most evil and crooked rulers of the history, who apparently showed hypocritically with munafaqat and nifaq, hypocritically showed himself to be a lover of Ahlul Bayt and supporter of Ahlul Bayt, but was the one who not just poisoned the Imam and killed him physically, but actually also tried to basically hide the personality and hide the teachings of Imam Ridha alayhi salam and hide his personality and his attributes from the followers. So he was trying to do the personality assassination of Imam Ridha alayhi salam as well, in addition to being the real killer of the Imam by poisoning him. So such a hypocrite, crooked ruler was Mamun al-Rashid. And every time it's narrated in the history where Imam Ridha alayhi salam used to come back from the Jum'ah prayers, he was praying to Allah to make him die. he was in such an extreme pain from the situation that he was witnessing. Salatul Jum'ah is a political worship of Islam. Specifically when you find that this political worship has been exploited by the ruler in order to basically strengthen his own government through the Salatul Jum'ah and through the Salatul Eid, it is certainly an extremely painful thing for the Imam who deserves to lead the Salatul Eid and Salatul Jum'ah. In the hadith of Silsilatul Zahab that you have learned already, that Imam alayhi salam has narrated, our scholars have mentioned that this hadith, our mufassireen have mentioned this hadith is muwafiq, is basically in sync with what the Ayatul Tafdeel has said. Ayatul Tafdeel is the ayat that we call the Ayatul Ghadir, that was revealed at the occasion of Ghadir, when the Prophet announced the walayat and governance of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya ayyuhal rasoolu balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik wa in lam taf'al fama ballagta risalatuhu. So this Ayatul Tafdeel is basically muwafiq and in sync with what Imam Ridha alayhi salam had said at the occasion when he was taken towards Khurasan and the city of Nishapur. It is certainly pathetic to find that the biggest message of among all the messages that you find from the teachings of the Holy Prophet, the biggest and most emphasized message of Rasulullah and all the Ahlul Bayt has been missed by the Muslim Ummah. Isn't that pathetic? The biggest and the most important message through which the Prophet started his propagation, right from the beginning of his propagation, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, invite the, you know, when Allah commanded the Holy Prophet to invite his relatives, and Prophet invited, the people of the tribe of Quraysh, and hosted them for 3 days simultaneously, and invited them once and put this question for 3 times in front of them, that who is going to support me? And he brought the message of Tawheed and put the message of Tawheed in front of the people and said to him very bluntly that whoever says La ilaha illallah is going to succeed. And he put the message of Tawheed 3 times in front of them. And nobody raised his voice. And Prophet had already made clear, whoever announces his support towards the message of Tawheed is going to be his wazir and khalifa and vicegerent and deputy and na'ib. And of course, every time among those 3 times, Imam Ali alayhi salam raised his voice. And then the Prophet proclaimed the khilafat, wizarat and imamat and walayat. The Prophet proclaimed the wizarat of Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam. So since the beginning of the propagation of Rasulullah, what we find in the hadith of Silsilatul Zahab, the chain of gold with Imam Ridha narrated, is no different than what the Prophet said at the beginning of his propagation, and is no different in the essence in what the Ayatul Tabligh, the ayat which was revealed at the occasion of Ghadir, when Prophet for another time openly announced the walayat of Imam Ali and the governance of Imam Ali alayhi salam in front of the entire Islamic Ummah, almost the entire Ummah, 120,000 of the companions present. So despite this much emphasis on the message of Tawheed and the fact that the concept of Tawheed is directly related and intertwined with the walayat of the Imam of your time and your obedience towards the Imam of your time, and nothing of your actions in ibadat and worships your prayers and fastings and the rest of the stuff related to the a'mal and practical laws of Islam will benefit you unless and until you first clear up your belief of Tawheed practically through your obedience of the towards the representative of God. So if you obey the representative of Allah, that's how you prove your belief in the oneness of Allah and the kalima of La ilaha illallah, and then the rest of your actions can be certified. And that's, you know, even in the time when we find those people were gathered to seek the hadith, they were not less people, they were approximately 8,000 people. 8,000 people were gathering there at the city of Nishapur when Imam Rida was crossing. And among those were some of the greatest personalities of Muslim Ummah, and scholars and hafiz of Quran. Abu Zar'a and Muhammad ibn Aslam were the very two famous leaders of the community. Not the hafiz of Quran, but the hafiz of hadith and muhaddis. And those two people came forward from the crowd of 8,000, and some have narrated 10,000 crowd. So these two great recognized personalities of the community came forward and said to Imam Ridha alayhi salam, Imam is riding a mule with, he's inside the carriage that used to be put over the top, the back of the mule, and Imariya, how we call it in Arabic, so that carriage which is fixed over the mule. Imam is riding this mule, and these two people came and said, Ayyuha Sayyid ibn Sada, Ayyuha Imam ibn al-Aimma, Ayyuha Sulalatu Tahira al-Radiyya, Ayyuha Khulasatu Zakiya al-Nubuwa, O you, the Imam, the Sayyid, who belongs to the pure household and purified, infallible household, which is pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are the Khalifa and the pure and the summary of the prophethood of the Holy Prophet. For the sake of your great ancestors and pure ancestors, we would like to request you that you, first of all, you show your face to us so we can do your ziyarat, we can see you, and also that you narrate one hadith from your grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The time had reached to a stage that even the ahadith of Rasulullah have been fabricated to great extents, which Prophet had already prophesied. قَدْ كَسُرَتْ عَلَيَّ الْكِذَابَ وَسَتَكْسُرْ. A lot of fake statements or fabricated or slanders have been ascribed to me. A lot of wrong statement. Prophet never said that. A lie has been related to him, and will still be. A lot has to come in the future. Then a lot of fabricated lies will be connected to Rasulullah in the future as well. And that we find in the time of Banu Umayya and Banu Abbas, the things continued. So ahadith and statements of Prophet it's hard to find, unfortunately, in the Muslim Ummah. And fabricated ones were the ones that were officially promoted by the usurping governments who usurped the power from Ahlul Bayt. They were fabricating, just like the Zionist media plays today with the realities and truths, spinning and twisting the news to fit their political agenda. So similarly, we find that those governments were spinning and twisting the statements of the Prophet, fabricating it, making it to fit and justify their interests, quote-unquote, and justify their goals, and sometimes even condemn the very imamat of Ahlul Bayt and their khilafat and their walayat and rule. So it's not a matter of surprise when somebody, when these 8,000 people are asking Imam Rida alayhi salam to narrate one hadith. that's the best time, because now they found, after so much camouflage and so much reconnaissance, so much intelligence activity done against the Ahlul Bayt over centuries, finally they discovered one son of in the lineage of the Holy Prophet, one Imam physically present in front of them, unrestricted by the Tawhid governments. At least there was nobody present at that time at when Imam was crossing the city of Nishapur with all those hardships. And so that was a golden chance for these people to ask rightfully from the Imam. فَاسْتَوْقَفَ al-Baghla, Imam basically basically the ride was stopped, and رَفَعَ al-Mudilla wa akarra عُيُونَ al-Muslimin بِطَلِيعَتِهِ, and he showed his face to the people and said, that's the statement of the Imam before he narrates the hadith. Please pay attention. He says, مَعَاشَرَ النَّاسِ اسْمَعُوا وَعُوا وَلَا تُوذُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ فِي عِتْرَتِهِ وَأَنْسِتُوا. O the people, listen and basically understand it properly, and don't cause pain and annoyance for the Messenger of Allah through you teasing his lineage, his children, his Ahlul Bayt, and pay attention. And that's where, that was the Muqaddama and prelude, you know, because the people have already given hardest of the times towards their Imams throughout those earlier centuries, and we already have all of those Imams getting killed helpless without anybody supporting them in front of those Tawhuts. And then of course he started to narrate the famous hadith which you all know. I heard from my father, he heard from his father, and so on, from Amir al-Mu'mineen Imam Ali alayhi salam, and so on, from you know, from Rasulullah, and he heard from Jibreel, Jibreel heard from Allah, that Kalimatullah ilaha illallah hisn. This kalima, this word of La ilaha illallah, is my fortress. Allah said, this kalima, look at the beauty of the and the comprehensiveness of this message, which is valid till the Day of Judgment for all the humanity to understand and realize and wake up. If you want to get the guidance in one word, that's the time. So he said, the word of La ilaha illallah is my fortress, Allah said. Man qala dakhala hisni. Whosoever says it enters my fortress. Wa man dakhala hisni. And whoever enters my fortress, amina min azabi. He got secured from my torment and punishment. Now, kalima of La ilaha illallah is the fortress of Allah. Man qala, whoever says it, enters the fortress. Well, we can find a whole bunch of atheists can also end up reading a book of Arabic language about Islam in their orientation towards the religion Islam and read the kalima of La ilaha illallah. Isn't that right? Any non-Muslim can also read it, any non-believer can also read it, any atheist can also read it, an agnostic can also read it, you know, enemies of God can also read it, satanists can also read it. Just reading is not going to make you through up till the destination, isn't that right? It's not just a matter of paying a lip service. So that's not going to solve a problem if just you say it, you know, anybody can say it. So it's not that simple, and it could not be that simple. So Imam Ridha alayhi salam said that statement, and after a while he added that Before I get to what he added, even the kalima of La ilaha illallah itself, let's remember, is the greatest statement. Because the Holy Prophet had said in his hadith that Ma qultu walal qa'iduna qabli mithla La ilaha illallah. That means neither me nor any prophet before me has said a statement like La ilaha illallah. That means there isn't anyone who had said a statement which is as great and high as La ilaha illallah. That is the greatest statement ever uttered by the humans. So even saying it is a good thing, but that's not going to take you all the way through to the destination. This is the greatest statement. That's what we learn in the light of the hadith, that this is the greatest. That's what I learned. And so then Imam Ridha alayhi salam added that shartiha wa shurutiha wa ana mushrikuha. It has its condition. La ilaha illallah certainly is the fortress of Allah, but there is a condition. There are conditions. And wa ana min shurutiha, and I'm one of its conditions. I'm one of his conditions means that accepting his walayat and obeying his walayat and obeying the concept of his governance and leadership is the condition with which La ilaha illallah became conditional. So if you want your La ilaha illallah quote unquote to be accepted as a statement by Allah so that you can enter his fortress, you got to fulfill its condition. That means you believe and obey in the imamat of all those holy imams, including Imam Ridha alayhi salam, who is the imam of that time. So the job of the people at that time was to accept and obey him. So if somebody accepts the imam of his time and obeys the imam's walayat, and then he says La ilaha illallah with this belief and obedience, he certainly enters the fort of Allah and got secure from his torment. So so we find that this is what the Imam has made clear, but still it wasn't clear on the masses, and is still not clear. Otherwise the behaviors would not have been the way they are towards the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. As a matter of fact, the message was clear and is clear, but it's about the obedience and the belief that some people do not want to obey and follow. And this is extremely painful for the Imam, who is the guide appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the guidance of humanity, and he finds the humanity leading astray and not accepting the message of Allah. Because if you don't follow the representative of God, actually you have not followed Allah. That's the way it goes. You cannot skip the messenger and say, I obey God. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهَ. Isn't that right? The Quran has already made clear. Say, if إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ, if you love Allah. Allah is commanding the Prophet to say, that means say it to the people. Say it to the people, in other words, that if you guys love Allah and kuntum tuhibbun Allah, fattabi'uni, then follow me. You can't skip the messenger, you can't skip the person who is representing God, but you can say, I still love God. Doesn't make any sense. So when Iqbal, the famous poet, he had basically did his qasam, he swear that I would not read this famous qasida and poetry, this famous qasida Mudaris al-Ayat. He did his qasam that I'm not going to read it in front of anybody unless and until I first read it in front of the Imam alayhi salam. So he traveled all the way from his hometown to basically to Khorasan, where Imam Ridha alayhi salam was taken by Mahmud forcibly. And Mahmud al-Rashid was also present, and he was also hearing the qasida. So it is not an easy task, brothers and sisters, for a poet who praises the Ahlul Bayt and writes his poetry in qasida to support the walayat of the Imam of his time and oppose the walayat of the Tahut of those days on his face. أفضل الجهاد كلمة حق عند إمام جائر. That was the Prophet said, the most superior jihad is to say the word of haq on the face of the tyrant ruler. So when Di'bal reached that shi'r of his, where he said, أَرَى فَيْأَهُمْ فِي غَيْرِهِمْ مُتَكَسِّمًا, I see their inheritance, their property, in other words, had already been distributed among others. Others have already put their hands over the property that belongs to Ahlul Bayt. وَأَيْدِيَهُمْ مِنْ فَيْئِهِمْ سَفَرَاتِ, and their hands, that means the hands of Ahlul Bayt, are void and empty of their own property. Their own property is not in their hands, is taken up by others. Imam alayhi salam, when he heard that shi'r, he started to cry. And he said, "You said the truth, O Khuza'i," because he belonged to the tribe of Bani Khuza'a. So Imam said to him that, "You said the truth." And then he added the first, he recited the next shi'r on the Imam. And of course, Mahmud Rashid was also there. It was recited twice. And in those days, if a sha'ir and poet comes and reads that kind of great piece of poetry, it's just like a fire in the jungle. It spreads all over so quickly. People are fond of listening to Arabic literature. You know, in those days, it's unlike those, baddus of today, of Saudi Arabia and others who don't know their own language and Arabic grammar and its beauty. They don't understand the beauty and eloquence of Arabic language. In those days, people were very fond of the balaghat and eloquence of Arabic, and they loved to listen to the poetry, and everybody tried to memorize the poetry of the poets and the poems. And people used to memorize it and inform it to others, and it used to spread all over. And this qasida was no different. It became one of the most famous piece of poetry in the entire government of Mamun al-Rashid, spread all over so quickly. And Mamun's government, let's not underestimate the greatness of his empire, which was spreading from Turkmenistan and Uzbekistan and Tajikistan and Afghanistan and Iran and Iraq and Azerbaijan, parts of Azerbaijan and Saudi Arabia, what we call today, including all those Yemen and United Arab Emirates and Qatar and Bahrain and Kuwait and Jordan and Syria and Palestine and Egypt and Libya and Algeria and Tunisia and Morocco. We are talking about the entire Northern Africa and huge parts of the Central Asia and Middle East. This is all the empire of Mamun Rashid. That was the biggest empire in the history of Islam. It's not a small government. And you know, when the range was mentioned by Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, when Harun insisted on Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam once, the father of Mamun, Harun Rashid, insisted on Imam Qadim alayhi salam, "Then I'm going to give you the fadak, that piece of garden that was usurped by the first Khalifa from your grandfather Imam Ali alayhi salam, and Imam Qadim alayhi salam mentioned the borders of the whole empire of Harun Rashid. And Harun said, oh, actually, so you guys, you Ahlul Bayt, don't want that garden located in Medina. Actually, you want the government. Which is actually the truth. Because the concept of whole concept of Fadak is and was directly related to the Imamat and Wilayat of Amir Mumineen alayhi salatu wasalam. So look at how the Ahlul Bayt were feeling when a poet arrives and performs his jihad by saying the word of truth on the face of a tyrant ruler and expresses truth. You know, the real situation in which the Ahlul Bayt were suffering. And in the next, he moves forward with his poetry in his poem, and he says, "Ida wutiru muddu ila watirihim, aw muddu ila watirihim, akuffan an al awtar munqabawati." That means we understand in the light of this verse that whenever, when misbehavior or wrong is done towards Ahlul Bayt, they are still ready to do good towards those who do bad towards them. Imam alayhi salam turned his hand because it used the words munqabadat. So he turns his hand and he said, "Bala wallahi munqabadat." So yes, certainly, I swear to Allah that, it is. So, and then he says, لَقَدْ خِفْتُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَأَيَّامَ سَعْيِهَا وَإِنِّي لَأَرْجُ الْأَمْنَ بَعْدَ وَفَاتِي. Dipo says that I am living a life with fear in this world, and the efforts that I am doing in the days of the life. But certainly I hope that I don't end up in fear after my death. That means I'm secure after my death at least. The poets who were praising Ahlul Bayt and opposing the governments, of course, they were under lots of problems. They were not leading an easy life. So he says that I'm living in fear in this world, but I certainly hope to live without fear after my death. That means Allah helps me. And Imam alayhi salam, when he heard that shir, he said, "May Allah keep you safe on the day of the great scare." The day of judgment has, 100 plus names, and one of those is Yawm al-Faza' al-Akbar, the day of the great scare. So Imam Rida said to him, "May Allah secure you on the day of the great scare." And then he said, وَقَبْرٌ بِبَغْدَادٍ لِنَفْسٍ زَكِيَّةٍ تَضَمَّنَهَا الرَّحْمَنُ فِي الْغُرُفَاتِ. And there's a grave in Baghdad. He talks about the Ahlul Bayt one after the other in his poetry, what happened to each of the Imams, and then he reached the father of Imam Rida alayhi salam, which is Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, who is buried close to the city of Baghdad, in Kadhimiyya. So, and there is a grave in Baghdad for a purified soul whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has encompassed in his rahmat, in other words. And Imam alayhi salam added here a share from his behalf that, shall I add to your poetry? He said, certainly, Ibn Rasulullah. And then Imam added two verses here, two shi'r, and he said, وَقَبْرٌ بِتُوسٍ يَا لَهَا مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ أَلَحَّتْ عَلَى الْأَحْشَاءِ بِالزَّفَرَاتِ إِلَى الْحَشْرِ حَتَّى يَبْعَثَ اللَّهُ قَائِمًا إِلَى الْحَشْرِ حَتَّى يَبْعَثَ اللَّهُ قَائِمًا يُفَرِّجُ عَنَّ الْهَمَّ وَالْكُرُبَاتِ. And there is a grave, in other words, you cannot translate the poetry's exact wordings, but what we understand in the light of these is that there's a grave in Tus which has a lot of musibat and test and pains, and in other words, so till the time that Allah would bring the riser, that means Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, who is the Imam al-Qa'im, till Allah brings and he's going to remove the pain and the torture from the Ahlul Bayt. That means with his arrival and with his qiyam and uprising, the pains of Ahlul Bayt will finally be removed through him. إِلَى الْحَشْرَ حَتَّى يَبْعَثَ اللَّهُ قَائِمًا يُفَرِّجُ عَنَّ الْهَمَّ وَالْكُرُبَاتِ. So basically these two were added by the Imam, and Imam ordered, Imam gave him 100 dinars, which he was not accepting. He said, well, I didn't say my qasida and poetry for the sake of money, but Imam insisted, and he accepted upon the israr of the Imam 100 dinars. When he reached his hometown, the followers of Ahlul Bayt purchased each dinar from him. One dinar used to be equal to 10 silver coins. Dinar is a golden coin equal to 10 silver coins. That is 10 dirhams. But the followers of Ahlul Bayt purchased each dinar from him for 100 silver coins. That means 10 times the price. So he got 10 times the price of what Imam gave to him, and also gave him his abba. And he said, remember the value of this abba, because for 1,000 nights, 1,000 rakats of prayers have been prayed in each of those 1,000 nights. And also he gave him a handkerchief, gift. So that was narrated in Kashful Himma. Sheikh Saduq has narrated from Kashful Himma. We already crossed the line. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to follow the ma'arif of Quran and the Bayyans. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين.